You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
Buzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz at the movies.
Ah, patience. Hey, everybody. Bing is for doing, and what are we doing? We are doing AfterBuzz TV at the movies, here to review the new rom-com zom, romantic comedy with zombies, Warm Bodies. My name is John Campy. I'm actually the editor-in-chief over at AMC Theaters, AMC Movie News. And I'll just let everybody around the table introduce themselves as we're going to review this film, so go ahead.
Hey guys, I'm Chrisley Kennedy.
Hi everyone, I'm Marissa Serafini.
And I am Dan Deavy from thecinemasource.com.
Ooh, fancy.
Make sure you put the in there. If you go to cinemasource.com instead, they're going to like try to sell you theater equipment. Don't do it. Thecinemasource.com.
Heavy porn.
Just saying.
Well, listen, folks, we are here tonight to talk about this new, like I said, the romantic comedy with zombies. Of course, started so brilliantly by Edgar Wright's Shaun of the Dead, the very first rom-com zom that we've ever seen. So I had a very difficult time watching Warm Bodies and not having kind of comparisons in my head to Shaun of the Dead, which is completely unfair. I completely acknowledge that. It's absolutely unfair. So let's start with this. For those of you who don't know what we're doing here, and there's no reason you should because this is our first time doing it this way, we are going to do an assumption here, the same way we make an assumption after Buzz TV about shows. We're going to assume you've watched the show. In this case, we're going to assume you have watched the movie since it opened last weekend. So this episode is probably going to be filled with what they call spoilers.
Spoilers.
If you have not seen the film...
Spoiler alert! Spoiler!
If you have not seen this movie, or you are really, really, you know, sensitive about hearing spoilers of any kind in a movie, yeah, go back to bed, because this one isn't for you. Because we are actually going to go into it in quite a lot of detail. So let's start with this. Dan, let's start with you. Let's start with our first, just your overall general impressions with Warm Bodies.
I surprisingly loved it. I did not expect to. I thought, how can you do a romantic comedy with a zombie? And how, I thought it was just taking the whole zombie thing a little too far. You know, Walking Dead's fantastic. There have been some good movies, but do we really need a rom-com with a zombie? But they basically just retold Romeo and Juliet, which you cannot go wrong when you do that. It's a classic story that could be told over and over again. And as soon as I realized that basically the Capulets were the living and the Montagues were the zombies, done. Like, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah,
like,
clearly R is R. Romeo.
Romeo.
Julie is Juliet. Marcus is Mercutio, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Mercutio.
And yeah. And yeah, the whole analogy goes on pretty well. How about you, Marissa?
Overall, I enjoyed the movie, especially because you said Shaun of the Dead. I actually had an easier time watching Warm Bodies than I did Shaun of the Dead. It took me like three times to watch that one. So, and yeah, just going off of the, you know, the hype of what Twilight and Walking Dead, we have all these vampires and zombie movies out, so why not have a more fun, lighter side of the zombie kind of type of genre? And overall, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Chrisley?
I gave it a 3 out of 5 stars. I thought it was funny. I thought there were some great light parts to it. There were some parts that were a little too close to Twilight for me. But as a whole, it was definitely entertaining. They were definitely hitting the mark that they were trying to reach, that whole group of people that really loves the Twihards and the young kids. There were some parts that really bothered me. I'm a continuity freak, so there were some continuity things that really bothered me. But that's just me nitpicking. But overall, it was fun. I had fun with it, and I laughed. So
I'm going to fall somewhere in the middle between Dan and Chrisley. I quite liked it. I love the message in the film. This is actually a message movie. They've got a couple of very strong messages in it, but I'm one of these guys who thinks, well, just because you're doing a really good message doesn't mean you're doing it great. But I was entertained. I liked it. I didn't quite live up to the hype that for a lot of other people did for me. But still, I thought it was a really good time with the movies. I thought it was quite original. The Shaun of the Dead comparisons notwithstanding. But so let's start going through some individual elements here. Let's start with the star of the movie, Nicholas Hoult. Who we've seen recently in X-Men First Class, who I thought was terrific as Beast. We've got him again coming up, speaking of X-Men, we've got him again coming up in Bryan Singer's film Jack the Giant Slayer, which I got to admit, I didn't recognize him in the trailer of Jack the Giant Slayer. So here we come. He's coming in. He's taking on this big... this is his first film that he's really taken over, and this is his movie to lead. Mm-hmm. And I got to... this could be challenging. Playing a zombie is the easiest thing in the world. Playing a zombie who's starting to turn human again is not. And I got to tell you, I think the performance of Nicholas in this film was the absolute strongest thing about it. He sold me. On, you know, for those of you who don't know yet, like, he's this zombie who's just bit by bit and spurred on a lot, of course, by the female antagonist, who we'll get to in a second, or protagonist, and he's becoming human. And so he's got to play this zombie with human characteristics. And it's not just the dialogue and the narration that he gives in the background that is going on in his head, but even the way he carries himself and tries to talk and his conversations with Rob Corddry, although we'll get to them in a second here. I thought he was fantastic in this. I'm suddenly, my interest level after watching Warm Bodies in Jack the Giant Slayer just jumped about 60%, knowing that he's leading the film. So that was really interesting to me. Dan, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, he's a fantastic actor. Anyone who saw him in A Single Man, I mean, he's a great actor. And when you see a movie like this, you kind of expect, or when you hear that this movie is being made, you don't necessarily expect them to be really talented actors. But to your point about, the message of the movie that I really loved, the thing that made me love it is that at the end of this movie, they are cured. And we see zombie stories and they happen and there's no cure for it. There's no end to it. You just have to make sure you don't die so it doesn't happen to you. But in this, there's a cure and that cure is love. And love conquers all in this movie. And when was the last time you saw a movie that had as simple and sweet a message as that? Like, yes, it seems impossible. It seems like we're not going to be able to survive whatever this is. But you know what? If you love strong enough and hard enough, you will eventually feel better. And I just thought that was great. We never see things like that. And I have to see so many movies. I love leaving the theater feeling good about myself and good about humanity and that we're not going to all kill each other in the end, that there is some hope. So I love that aspect of
it. I thought that was a little cheesy. I can't lie. I wish there was
Do you
was
not
something.
Love love?
I guess... maybe not. I don't know. I guess the hopeless romantic in me was not there when I watched this movie. That was the one thing that I was like, I just wish there was something more to, like, the hand-holding that got them to see something. I just, I don't know. I mean, I've never seen a scary movie in my life. I will admittedly say that. So I have no prior history of zombies until this movie. So maybe I wanted them to be a little harder. But that was the only cheese that I found, was that love was going to cure the zombie.
I got to agree with you, Dan, on that. And the reason why is because it kind of makes sense. Because if these zombies are really just human beings, but like their humanity is gone, what more to start to spark the reignition of humanity with them if it's not love?
Right.
Because everything else is a primal drive, right? Mm-hmm. To feed, to survive, whatever. But then love comes. And I like the way visually they illustrated that. When they do it, granted, it sounds really cheesy, but when you suddenly can now transparently see into their chests and you see their heart and all of a sudden, boom, boom, one heartbeat.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, visually, that's a great cue. Mm-hmm. And it is a sweet little message. Yes, it's cheesy, but yes, it's sweet.
Oh, yeah, it's totally cheesy. The cheese factor is definitely there. I'm just saying that I like the cheese. Like, I forgave the cheese in this because it is such a great message that we just don't get to see
that
anymore.
Heartbeat reminded me of the Grinch who stole Christmas.
Yes! Exactly. So, exactly.
And at the end of that movie, you're rooting for the Grinch to become a better person.
Yeah.
And even with the zombies or corpse, because throughout the whole movie, they were more references, corpse, which is, you know,
right,
being the bodies of a dead human. So, like, even at the beginning, there were human qualities still there. They're wearing human clothes, especially he's wearing, and I noticed he was wearing a red hoodie, and all the other corpses were wearing, like, black or really dark colors, and he was the only one that had color to him.
Right.
So he had more emotion, like, more love, especially red. And so just at the beginning, like, there were still human qualities, and you were just waiting for them to change back into human.
Yeah. And you had to not give up, which is part of the message that I really like, because we're so used to seeing worst case scenarios and how dark and edgy can things be. And, you know, you become a zombie. Well, I give up. They don't give up. They keep fighting.
For love.
Come on.
Cheese. Love. Give me the cheese.
Give me a cheese sandwich. It tastes good.
But getting back to that point, one of the things, this highlights one of the things I really appreciate about Warm Bodies. Look, I'm actually kind of tired of zombie movies because they're all the same. It's always the same thing, exactly the same, over and over and over again. But, and boy, this is going to sound weird, the thing I appreciate about Warm Zombies is kind of like the one element that I actually appreciate about the Twilight series of films. And the one thing I appreciate about the Twilight series of films is that they were not afraid to go in and take the standard mythology of what vampires are and fool with it a bit and mix it up and change it a bit. Wait a minute. So vampires, like, they don't burn in sunlight. They do this. Okay, maybe that was stupid.
They sparkle.
But you know what?
Applaud
the daringness to do something different. Hey, each one of them has their own unique vampire ability, which makes them nothing more than, you know, poor man's X-Men. But still, the fact they were doing that. And I love the idea. When have we ever seen a zombie movie where the zombies can actually be cured?
Yeah.
Can actually be cured and changed back. And I thought that was terrific. Now let's talk about the villains in the film for
a second. Before we do that, I'd really like to hear what else you liked about Twilight.
You know, I have to touch on the Twilight thing, because going into the film, as soon as I saw Summit, I thought Twilight. And even the beginning of the movie, the writing was very similar to Twilight. There were a lot of shots that were the same as Twilight, which bothered me a little, because I know that that's the market that they're really going for. But the scene of, and I know we haven't gotten to them yet, but the scene of Julie and Perry in the meadow was the same scene. You know, and I even think that both Nicholas and Teresa have Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart qualities to them. I think that Teresa looks very much like Kristen, but blonde. So there were a lot of...
You're not the first person I've heard say that.
Yeah, it was a little too close. And I think the writing and the story was great. I wish that they had separated it a little bit more from Twilight, because that was the one thing that I didn't enjoy.
But I agree, because the physical surroundings in Warm Bodies, the atmosphere was gray. It was very monochromatic. And for the memories, there was more warm colors. And even Julie's bedroom, it was very warm colors. And so, and going back to Twilight, in those romantic scenes, there was a lot of warm colors to it, too. So I can see where there's that comparison.
I was just glad Aura didn't start sparkling at any time during the movie. I was waiting for that to happen.
All right, let's talk about the villains in the film. Because if you've got, normally you talk about a zombie movie, zombies are the villains. But obviously in this film, that's not the case. So you have to have something else to be your antagonist. And they introduce a breed of zombie, if you will, that's a zombie who's really far along, and they've been a zombie way too long, and they call them bonies.
That's when you give up, by the way. That's when you finally
give up. That's when
you
have no left.
You got nothing left.
Because you
got to
have...
No chance.
You got to have villains in the film who are not... who can't be humanized.
Right.
And so they're going to humanize the zombies. Okay, you have to have something that you can just say, no, these guys are beyond hope. And that's the bonies, who are basically these walking skeletons. Terrifying. I thought they did them wonderfully.
I thought it was good, and I like the fact that the bonies didn't have eyes, so that shows that, like, there's no soul, there's no hope, and no humanity for these things. They can't change back. You have to kill them.
And they were done really well. They could have been really cheesy, and they weren't. That was the one part of the movie that I was really impressed by, that the CGI or however they made them was pretty amazing.
It's almost like they anticipated the objection. Well, wait a minute. Why can't they be saved too? And it's like you're saying, they did everything to dehumanize them as much as they can. And I think they did a great job.
The only thing that got me when they first came on the screen, I thought for a second I was looking at one of those first person shooter games, like Area 51 or something. Because they looked very much like I was half like grabbing for my gun, because it was like, well, you got to take them down. But, I mean, they did look great, and of course they had to be portrayed that way. That makes total sense. But for a second I thought, all right, we're in a game now.
All right, well, let's talk about Teresa Palmer for a second. Now, people who may not be familiar with Teresa Palmer, you may have seen her in I Am Number 4, which I'm going to admit I liked more than most people did. And the 80s comedy that nobody went to go see, Take Me Home Tonight. Which is the one 80s song they never actually used in the movie. They used like every other 80s song, but not Take Me Home Tonight. I've always enjoyed her very much. You can't tell from her film, she has the strongest Australian accent. I'll tell you a little secret too. First time I met Teresa was at an after party for Take Me Home Tonight. And her date was Zac Efron.
Nice.
Wow.
Yes. So there's a little bit of insight into Trish Palmer.
Interesting.
Again, I mean, not as strong as Nicholas. I think she sold the character. I think she sold the role. I was really pleased to see her in this. And I've been kind of pulling my hair a little bit, saying, look, yeah, nobody saw I Am Number Four. Nobody saw Take Me Home Tonight. But she was strong in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's got great screen presence. She's a beautiful girl. She's got chops. I hope she can do something that will, you know, kind of launch her a little bit further into her career. And I think this might be the movie to do it. So, I don't know. Am I the only one? Like, I love Trace in this.
I saw both of those movies, Take Me Home Tonight, and I Am Number.
I love that movie,
I enjoyed both. I got to say, Teresa Palmer in Warm Bodies, she does have a lot of characteristics and mannerisms that reminded me of Kristen Stewart in Twilight. And I had a hard time, like, just separating the two, and like it just kept seeing
really?
Bella.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I just kept seeing Bella. I was
That's interesting that's the female perspective seems to be agreed on that. And I think the male perspective is a little like I didn't see any because Kristen Stewart is just, is terrible.
But Kristen Stewart as Bella, not in any of her other films, just as
it's
Bella.
It's the same
Bella.
Thing. I've never seen her as anything other than. Like
Panic Room. She was different in Panic Room. She was also 12.
Touche. Touche, sir. Touche.
They have the same mannerisms even with their hands. When they get awkward and uncomfortable, they start playing with their fingers.
Really?
I noticed that. Yeah.
Right. When she was cuddling up on like in the chair, you know.
That's why you didn't enjoy the cheese. You were paying attention to the wrong things. You were focusing on the bad stuff.
I was nitpicking a little bit.
But I see a lot more life in Teresa Palmer than
so
I see.
Much yes. more. Yes. Oh my God.
There are more emotions.
Yeah,
and more layers to Teresa Palmer's character.
And Teresa was very believable on the part. Like, you believed that she was scared when she was scared. You believed that when she finally fell in love with him, like, she was sitting talking to her friend and saying, like, I kind of miss him. It's an you
it
felt
was a nice
the awkwardness.
Scene.
Yeah.
You really, I mean, I thought she was great.
You know what? I'm going to feel really bad here. I've even got the IMDb page open, but I'm not going to look it up. Aaliyah Tipton, is that who it is? The girl who plays her best friend.
Yeah.
I have not seen her in anything since she was in Crazy Stupid Love. I loved her in that. And I've been wondering why I haven't seen her pop up. So it was really cool to see her pop in this. I think John Malkovich is... He's your stereotypical disapproving hard ass dad. I mean, nothing positive or negative to say about there. He was who he was. I thought, let's have a Cordy just for a second before we get to the negatives. When Cordy first comes on screen, my first fear was, I'm just going to see Rob Corddry. I'm just going to see the hot tub time machine guy.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to see. And you know what? That's true. But he makes it work.
He does.
It becomes really, really funny. And his interactions with R in this were just priceless. And even the way they would grunt at each other. That scene where they're just grunting
at
each other.
Yep.
Oh, my word. I just thought that would work. And what's his line?
Those bitches?
Bitches are crazy or something like that.
Bitches be crazy.
Bitches be crazy. As a zombie, it's like... Yeah. Bravo, sir.
Well
Bravo.
Done. Very Bravo. Well done.
That's one of the things I really enjoyed about the film was the writing was amazing. Like, I mean, R's internal monologue was you felt for him and you laughed with him and you were like, aw, at parts. The writing was brilliant on this. And I felt like that was what made it more enjoyable for me was that despite the cheese and despite the continuity, the writing was really good. So it did keep you entertained and it made you laugh at the right parts. And the whole theater laughed. It wasn't just us. Like, we were laughing at some of the other stuff, but the whole theater laughed together. And I think that, I mean, the writers are brilliant.
Yeah, and I love when mentioning the sweater that he's wearing, how he says, like, based on my wardrobe, I'm pretty sure I was an underachiever.
Yeah.
I don't remember what my job was.
But unemployed.
Like, I thought that was great. So many great, great lines from a guy who can't talk. It's just... Really well done.
And you talked about the fact that it was loosely based on Romeo and Juliet. And and you can't go wrong with the story, but yet people have gone wrong with the story.
Yeah.
Totally, they've done a really bad job.
Yeah.
And this wasn't a bad job of that. It was kind of impressive.
You mentioned some of the great lines in the film. One of my favorites from R, he's talking about the bonies and about how they're really vicious killers. And he says, they'll eat anything with a heartbeat. Well, I mean, so will I, but at least I'm conflicted about it.
Right.
Such a great thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's get to some of the negatives about the film, because one of the things you guys will learn about me really quick is that, you know, if I love a film, I'm very open about, okay, yeah, but it had weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me being a hater. I still really like the film, but let's be honest about the weaknesses. Two things that jump out at me, I want to get your guys' impressions on this. Number one, they seem to introduce this theme near the beginning. When he's on the escalator, you hear him thinking, saying, oh, I wish I could be human because then I could have connection with people. And those living people sure could do that. But all the living people are just looking at their phones and devices. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like there was going to be this theme about, you know, connection and humanity and stuff like that. But I felt they really let that slide. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My second big problem with the film comes with Little Franco. Where, aww, man.
Davey.
No, and I love David. Man, she got over him dying really fast.
Yeah.
I mean, like, after
not
five
even a tear.
Gone. It's like, really?
Not even a tear.
Played that a bit more? Like, what do you guys think about that? Or there other problems you saw?
That actually was the one thing that I completely understood, was they showed that scene of the people in the airports, which was obviously in the past, hustling and bustling on their phones. They're talking about communicating and relating to one another, but yet in real life, that's what we do, is we're all on our phones. And then they cut to the current, where the people are living beyond these walls, and their lives are consisted of being fearful of zombies. And so many of them have lost so many people because of these zombies that I feel like you're so used to people dying that at that point it's just like, oh, well, they got another one.
That's a good point.
And I feel like that was the one thing that I did understand, that because they've had so much tragedy and these zombies have had such a negative impact in their lives, that, well, I've lost my mom, I've lost this one, he lost his, it's just another one.
Yeah, I guess live in being alive, they forgot to live.
Right. And also the moment of when they're going out and she goes to hold Perry's hand and he takes his hand away and he's like all business. That was such a moment for her that she realized that there was nothing else there. There was no feeling behind that, because if he felt for her and not just killing the zombies, that handheld would have been a bigger deal. Where when R finally holds her hand, it's such a bigger moment because she feels it back.
She also is so incredibly strong, and let's face it, Franco's character, not a tough guy.
No.
Like, he forces himself to try to learn to become a tough guy, even though he's not, which I think is one of the great things about the film, is that gender reversal. Because when you see the two of them together, she's playing the more masculine role and he's playing the more feminine role. She's leading him, like, let's go this way. And he's like, I don't want to go that way.
Yeah.
Right. Follow the rules. So I think there was that disconnect between the two. And they say that women are always looking for their fathers. And her father is an incredibly strong, not pretending, but a strong man. And Franco wasn't. And then you've got someone like Nicholas who comes along, you know, R who comes along, who is so strong that he, and strong in a different way, not in a military way, but, you know, strong with love. And he's able to do something with love that no one's ever done before. So for me, he was just such a better fit for her and kind of what she was looking for. And I think, again, to the point, so many people die in zombie-type situations. How many choices did she have?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, what, her dating pool wasn't that extensive. So they were probably together more because, well, you know, all right.
But and in that scene with her friend, she says that. She's like, I know dating's kind of hard because everybody's dying, but a zombie?
But they seem to go to great lengths to show that in his memories, as R's eating his brains and he's seeing his memories, there seemed to be genuine love between, you know, Franco and her. They seemed to be genuine. But he was like, and one of the things I like about this film is normally in movies, the ex-boyfriend or the current boyfriend of the girl that the hero wants to date is usually a douchebag. They make him out to have some big, huge character flaw. And I love the fact that, no, Franco was loyal, dedicated, dutiful, like all these good things, which only kind of heightened for me when he dies. She's like, oh, I'm sad. Well, you're cute. Look, we're just about out of time here.
I think she likes the father more. I think Perry liked the father more than he ever liked Julie.
Yeah, I'll go with you on that. So listen, we're running out of time, so let's just quickly run around the table one more time just to sum up, and out of five, give your rating of Warm Bodies. Dan, let's start with you.
Okay. Out of five just for movies in general, or out of five for rom-com zoms that I've seen?
let's go movies in general.
Okay, movies in general. All right, I just wanted to clarify. I thought it was really good. I think it has a great message behind it. Again, we haven't seen a lot of it. I think that probably the only negative that comes to my mind that you mentioned before is that message of being disconnected in society now with our phones and stuff. I think they could have done more with that, because that's a really interesting thing to explore. But I like that it was in there. I love the optimism of the movie. And I thought the cast was great, even though Franco was there for 5 seconds. Never complain having to look at him. So I give it a 4.
All right.
I'm going to have to say 3.5. For for a zombie movie, you kind of want to see a lot of deaths, a lot of, you know, decapitating of zombies. And we did get that near the end where, you know, they're all fighting. But I thought there was going to be a lot more action, and we only got a little bit of it. And for, like, the beginning of the movie, I kind of had a hard time getting into it. I thought a lot of scenes were a slow pace, and I thought they kind of lasted a little bit long, too long. But the overall, it was a nice feel-good movie. And but for, is it award-winning? No. No. But for a nice, fun movie just to watch, yeah, 3.5.
Chrisley?
I'm going to go with 3 stars. I think that it was entertaining. I think that it was funny. I think that the actors were great. My 2 biggest problems with the movie were, one, I wish that at some point in R's inner monologue, he would have addressed the physical changes that we saw. Because at the beginning, when I saw the scar and his lip was all of a sudden gone, I was like, wait, bad makeup. Why is the scar gone? But then as this movie progressed, you realize that as he was becoming more human, he was literally becoming more human and healing. So I wish that his inner monologue had addressed that, because I think that got lost a little bit. And the second thing that I hated was the BMW that they crashed into a car and mutilated, but then in the next scene, it was all fixed.
It was all fixed. It was good to go.
It was good to go. So that, you know, that's Dukes a continuity thing for me. But, you know.
All right. And I am going to give the correct answer. The correct answer to this is 3¾ stars. I really enjoyed that. I think it was bold. I think it was very creative. I think it took a really fresh look at a very tired genre. I love the integration of the Romeo and Juliet motif into it. Mm-hmm. I think the performances were strong. I do wish they had taken advantage of that opportunity to go onto the message of the film a little bit more. A few little iffy issues, like getting over the dead guy really fast. Wait a minute, if the bony started to smell Cordry's heart beating, how did he get out? He said, oh, they chased me away. No, they were face to face. They were about to kill you. But little things like that. But overall, I thought it was a really good movie, and I'm going to recommend people run out and see. But hey, listen, folks.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Before you go, there's just one other scene, and I can't believe no one else has mentioned it, that I want to bring up. The scene when she's in the bedroom, and he's on the floor, and she's kind of, you know, getting undressed and getting in there. I actually asked Nicholas this question at the junket, and his answer was interesting. I said, you know, I was into the movie. I get it. Suspension of disbelief. But I'm sitting there watching this, and he's getting all excited, like, ooh, maybe he's going to get some action. Maybe something's going to happen. He has no blood flow. What can happen? Like, what are you hoping for? And his answer was, it was more of like a, you know, love and respect kind of a thing. He wasn't trying to get laid. But just for that one scene, I was like, no blood flow, nothing going to happen.
But at the end of the movie, his blood was flowing.
Yes, that's true.
Yes, by then, everything was working completely properly. But listen, folks, what we'd like you to do at this point is jump on over, and you can find us on iTunes. Go on over there and search for us there. And don't forget, the most important part of all this is what you have to say. Let us know your thoughts on Warm Bodies, and give us suggestions and comments about how you think we can improve this show. Thanks again for joining us. For everybody at this table, my name is John Campion. Until next time, we'll see you later.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.